We're looking at a book, a letter to the church in Philippi, and we're looking at in Philippians chapter 1. But just as a way of introduction, before we read it, I wonder if when you were at school, or maybe when you were went away on a youth group time away or something like that, whether when you went into the dormitory at night and the teacher or the youth leader said, "Now it's lights out, you've got to be quiet," whether you did that. When they went to their room or to the staff room, I wonder whether you did what they asked when they weren't around. There was a phrase that I just found funny when I was teaching, either when I would come towards a classroom during wet break or lunch, or in an evening with a youth camp or children's residential, "Mr. Williams is coming." And you could hear the chaos in a room, and then those words, "Mr. Williams is coming!" And it was always urgent, kind of, "Mr. Williams is coming!" And then there'd be a shh. And I'd walk in, and it's like, "I know what you were doing." But they kind of try to give that impression that they've been good as gold. I wonder if you were like that. I wonder if you still are. There are times in our lives where we are a bit inconsistent, and it depends who we're with will determine how we behave. There are times in our lives where sometimes we may say that we are one thing, but in a different context or in a different situation, or where when we're challenged, we will abandon the things that we've said that we are or the things that we believe. An inconsistency. Paul is writing to these Christians in Philippi, and this church is under pressure, and he is in a prison in Rome. He's away from them, and they can't say, "Paul the Apostle is coming," because they don't know whether he is or not. He doesn't know whether he's going to return to them or not. And he's saying to them, "Whether I'm with you or whether I'm not, be consistent in the way that you live." And we're going to spend some time thinking about being a consistent Christian and living our lives consistent to the gospel that has saved us in all situations, living our lives in response to that and revealing that gospel. And these verses that we'll look at remind us that Jesus is interested in our lives and how we live them. So let's just read from God's word, and then I'm going to invite Paul up to come and just share how these verses and some things from these verses about living a Christian life in a consistent way, a committed way, in a time where there's challenge, and being a community within that kind of setting, how those things are being worked out with the people that he ministers with and the people that Lucy ministers with. In Jesus' name. Let's read God's word together. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 to 30. "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them, and that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." Confidence and consistency and commitment within community, even when there's challenge. That's there, but we're here. And the church in the UK will be facing increasing challenges over the coming years if the church in the UK chooses to try and do this first verse. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. If the church in the UK, that's not just the collection of people, but the individual people, as we try to live out our lives as a response to the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ and revealing the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ, the church will come under increasing challenge. So what will we do? What will we try to do? Well, the first thing is to try to be consistent. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens, whatever challenge comes, whether you're here on Sunday or it's during the week, will you be consistent in following Jesus? Will you, in every situation, live your life as a response to and a revealer of the good news of Christ? Maybe look back on this week. Have you been consistent in all areas of your life? Maybe you're saying, well, yeah, I have, but it hasn't been following Jesus. I've been consistently failing, consistently trying in one moment to live for Jesus and then the next moment really messing up. What's your consistency like? Own it. Identify it. Own it. Hold on to it for a moment. We'll come back to this. Paul spoke about how our friends, our brothers and sisters, our family over in the big country, as he put it, are seeking to be committed to Christ, to stand firm when challenge comes. Paul the Apostle, not that Paul, Paul the Apostle writes to the church in Philippi, "Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit." Are you committed? If we're to be consistent, it will be birthed out of a decision to be committed, but not just a decision to be committed, but actions that are committed to be consistent. Do you get what I mean? Maybe not. In my first year of university, I sprinted for the University of Bath, and 100 meters was my specialism. I tried 400, that's just too far to sprint. But 100 meters, and I got down to 10.9 seconds. And I was the fastest out of the two guys in the 100 meters for the club. That was my first year. And the other guy I would always beat by a whisker. That's a big whisker, sorry. I would always beat him. And then with university, term stops in June. So you get June, July, August, and then most of September on holiday. I returned home. I enjoyed my holiday. I did a little bit of study, a little bit of running, but I didn't go to the gym. I didn't do specific sprint training. So I went back to college, and that September I tried to sprint. And this guy just left me for dust. Because he had made the decision to be committed and consistently committed so that when he returned and the challenge, another competitor came along, he was able to stand firm. Well, not actually stand firm, just run really, really fast. He had hit the gym pretty much every day. He had sprinted and done training sessions pretty much every day, and he had continued to develop. I wasn't committed, or my commitment level was half-hearted. I wonder if sometimes that's the same for our faith. And when challenge comes, we haven't made the decision to be fully committed and consistent in our full commitment so that when challenge comes, we don't stand firm, but we wobble. Paul the Apostle carries on. And this is just in one verse. This is just verse 27. He says, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. He's talking about community. He's talking about the unity in the communion of the people around. And they're all working together so that people can stand firm. People can be consistently living their lives fully for Jesus. I was really challenged when I looked at this part of verse 27. Because too often I ask people, how are you doing, rather than how are you growing as a disciple? But as a community of disciples, surely I should be asking you, how are you growing as a disciple? Maybe just as many times, if not more, as the times I ask you how you're doing. Seth King, who was interning with us up until Easter, wonderful guy. We would have weekly sessions together, and something shifted in those sessions when I started asking two questions. The first question was this: how have you grown? And he was asking me the same questions. How have you grown to be a little bit more like Jesus since we last met? And how have you expressed something of the heart of Jesus to someone since the last time we met? I wonder if you're the kind of person that when you've been set homework, you will do it because you don't want to be the person that turns up to a session and says, I haven't done the homework. You don't want that kind of guilt because you know that someone will ask you, have you actually done it? And because Seth and I had that accountability, it was wonderful because even if I hadn't grown to be a little bit more like Jesus since we last met, the day before I would make sure that I tried to grow a little bit more like Jesus since we last met. Anyone else do that kind of thing? A few nods. And the second question that I asked, how have you expressed something of the heart of Jesus to someone? I didn't want to turn around as a team leader in this church and say to someone interning with us, sorry, Seth, I haven't shared or expressed the heart of Jesus since we last met. So I would make sure that there was an example. Thankfully, there were a number of examples quite often that I could share, and he could as well. And our friendship became a friendship around discipleship, and it was community striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. I wonder if we need to shift from asking only, how are you doing, to being a community where we actually spend time asking, how are you growing as a disciple of Jesus? Because that will help us grow in our commitment. And if we grow in our commitment, it will help us grow in our consistency as we try to live our lives in response to the gospel and revealing of the gospel. Because challenge is coming. Challenge may already be here. How can we be confident? How can we be faith-filled, as in without fear, when people oppose you? Because we're living in a society where increasingly people will oppose you and try to stop you from saying things about Jesus or try to stop you from living wholeheartedly about Jesus. On Friday, I had a phone call from one of the host pastors for an Arise team. And they're going into different schools all this week. And the head teacher of two of the schools, they're an academy kind of thing, had rung and said, you can't come in unless you can promise me that the things that the team will say won't be radical. When I heard this, I'm thinking, well, they're Jesus followers. Of course, if they're going to be Jesus followers, they will say things that are radical because Jesus himself is radical. More alarming, they said to the pastor, and he was really insulted by this, if you are there, it'll be okay because you can water it down. Oh, this guy is a passionate evangelist. He's a church planter. He isn't going to let that one go. But the school was saying no because they were feeling fearful that we would come in and the team would be radical. And I said to the guy, here's a lesson plan. The team will be radical, but radical about Jesus. And rather than asking just any questions with Gorilla Christian, we'll just discuss community. What is the church and who is Jesus? And we'll just go through that, and here's the lesson plan. So they can still talk about Jesus in a radical way, not watered down. But because we put it into a structure, they can go in with great confidence. And the school can receive them with confidence that we're not going to just go in an angry, you know, angry evangelicals. You know, maybe if you look on the news and you see people protesting, God hates, those kind of placard people, they thought that we would be like that rather than actually being Christ followers who are so trying to not just live the radical life with Jesus, but also live it in a manner that Jesus himself lived. Because challenge is coming. We need to be confident when challenge comes. We need to be in community and have commitment and be consistent, because when this challenge comes, it may be increasingly hard. And Paul has shared the kind of challenges that face our brothers and sisters in the big country. I wonder if we ran a course preparing for prison, how many people from our church would come along? Should we give it a go? Maybe you will say, actually, Stephen, there isn't a need. Is the need because of our context, probably, at the moment? Or is the need not there because we're not living radical lives for Jesus? We're not living a life, lives that are consistent with the gospel. Challenge will come, and we've got these verses, the verse in 29 and 30, where there's a sign for those that will be destroyed. Those that are opposing, those that are against Jesus will be destroyed because they're not following Jesus. They haven't chosen to believe that he is the Son of God and he died for their sins. And therefore, they're going to a lost eternity. And this challenge, as they oppose, it reveals their heart. It reveals where they're at with God. And Paul writes to the Philippian church and he says, this challenge is a sign to them that that's where they're going. But as you stand firm, it's a sign to you that God has got you. And that's where you're going in terms of eternity with him. There are challenges ahead. And what we need to do is focus on Christ, who has kind eyes and a loving face. Yet, when he speaks, lives are transformed and demons flee. We need to be Christians who are consistently focused in on Jesus, committed to looking for him and looking to him in each and every situation. Christians that in community keep pointing one another, striving together, pointing one another to Jesus and to be more like him and to grow in confidence. Anyone wonder why there was a peach at the front? Anyone think it was a nectarine, like someone said in the first service? It's a peach. I've got the box just there. So often, and this is kind of linked to what Paul said about we're Christians of the truth, but in Asia, they're Christians of the way and the life. In the West, so often we segment or compartmentalize our faith like an orange, having different segments. That's my Jesus segment. That's my home segment. That's my work segment. But what Jesus calls us to in these verses is to actually live a life that is centered on him, and everything is centered around him. Work, family, social life, my relationships, my finances, all of these things centered around him. And that's the life that we are called to live. Whatever happens, to live our lives in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus, with him at the center. In a moment, we're going to listen to a song. You can join in and sing it as well. It's a song that is saying, I'm going to make room for you, Jesus, to have you at the center of my life. But for those who are observant, you'll see different lines One there, one there, and one over there. And it might be that as we sing this song, and as other worship songs are sung as response, you come to a line. And you recognize that you have been inconsistently living for Jesus, or inconsistent in how you've lived for Jesus. And you come to this line, and this is a decision moment for you. And you're saying, Jesus, I want to live in a more consistent way in response to your gospel and revealing your gospel. And you take a step closer. Consistency isn't just this. One step. Consistency starts when you start to do the second step and the third step. So can I encourage you, as we go through a time of response, that you can come up to a line and take a step over, stepping into a greater consistency in following Jesus. But it might be that you actually want to say, Jesus, I've wobbled in my commitment for you, and I'm going to stand at the line. And I'm going to say, Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, help me to stand firm, because I'm under challenge. There are lots of things challenging me at the moment, and I just want to stand firm. So I'm going to bring myself to the line where I'm going to meet with you, and by your Spirit, I'm going to stand firm. It might be that you want to come up to the line, and you're saying, Jesus, I want to grow in confidence. I want to grow in community. And this is a commitment to growing in community that is actually about disciple making and not just about being nice to one another. Asking not just how you're doing, but how are you growing with Jesus? How can I help you in that? Come and step up to the line and step through the line with Jesus as we make decisions in this place that will have an impact whatever happens. Those two words at the start of verse 27. We need to make a decision before whatever happens, so that when whatever happens, we've already made that decision.